అష్టోత్తర శతశిష్యమానే మిస్ డివైన్ గ్రేస్ ఇస్ ఈక్వల్ టు వితౌట్ ద స్వామి శ్రీ ప్రభుపాద. He, Maharaj Parikshit, repeatedly addressed and questioned the bull thus, O son of Surabhi, who has cut off your three legs? In the state of kings who are obedient to the laws of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, there is no one as unhappy as you. The kings or the executive heads of state is that the three legs of the representative of religion are cut off, and thereby all miseries will follow. When Krishna was personally present, the codes of Krishna were being followed without question, but in his absence, such codes are presented in the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam for the guidance of the blind persons who happen to be at the helm of all affairs. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Jananjanan Shalakaita Churamunitandam Dashmai Sriyama Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Haradha Shivashari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So here Prabhupada is pointing out that Srimad Bhagavatam is the guidance for the blind persons who happen to be the helm of all affairs. So this is for the actual leaders of society. This is to understand the teachings of Lord Krishna and disseminate this knowledge throughout the world. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has also said the same thing. Bharata Bhumi Vaidashayi Manusha Chandama, that one who has taken birth in India as a human, then his duty is to understand the science of Bhagavatam, the science of Krishna, and become convinced of it. Then, when you are convinced, you should take it and give it to everyone else around the world, because the world does not have this science of Krishna, or Srimad Bhagavatam. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is actually the duty of every person, not only the, what to speak of the so-called leaders, but those at the helm of all affairs, the administrators. It's very imperative that they understand this philosophy, the science of Krishna, and distribute it to the citizens, etc. Because this is explaining the actual purpose of life. And what is being taught now is not achieving the purpose of life, but what it is achieving is simply keeping one in the cycle of birth and death. That's the only achievement of the modern, however nicely they phrase things and in the name of Calvin. The only thing they're doing is actually keeping everyone in the cycle of birth and death. So actually the greatest enemies out of ignorance. So Srimad Bhagavatam is the only solution to solve the real problems of the material world. So in contrast of today's leaders, or not in contrast also, saying 500 years ago the same thing was going on with the rulers, and at that time the Mughal rulers were here, that the Muslims were leading, and the Nawab of Bengal, he was also instructing people how to live, and it just so happened that he had under his ministership Rupa Goswami. Then they moved to Ramakeli to do their service for the Muslim government. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went there to meet them. So they also secretly went out to meet Lord Chaitanya. And fell at the feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they said, we are most abominable sinners in this world. There is no more sinful than us. We are actually millions of times more sinful than Jagan Mata. Because Jagan Mata, although they were also from Brahmana families, but Jagan Mata didn't give up their caste. They were sinful. There was no amount of sin. But they never gave up their caste, but we actually gave up our caste. And we're accepting service from the Muslims, and we become just like them now, in every way. And therefore we're more fallen than even Jagan Mata. And Mahaprabhu was very attracted by their humility. And he said that nobody knows why I came here to Ramakali. Nobody knows the secret of my mission here to Ramakali. He said, but I'm telling you, the only reason I came here was to see you two, Rupa and Sananda. I've come to see you because because you're my very dear devotees. And very soon Krishna is going to release you from this situation you're in now. So from that time on, they become completely inimical towards their service for the government and their leadership, and they just completely fell overboard with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his teachings. So immediately they retired from the government service. And they saw it as all useless, a useless waste of time to be engaged in this. And the government didn't know how to rule. So they simply wanted to dedicate their lives to Krishna consciousness. So they left it, gave up everything and left it. And so, again, Rupa Goswami, he met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Prayag, Lalabad. And again, they came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with straw between their teeth, offering so many nice prayers. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would say, your humility appeals me. He said, you are personification of humility. And Rupa Goswami, that's when he offered that nice prayer, Namo Mahabhadanaya Krishna Prima Padayati Krishna Krishna Chaitanya Namani Gaura Krishna Namani. He understood the identity of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he understood Lord Chaitanya's mission. And so Lord Chaitanya instructed him there for many days in the science of devotional service. Therefore Rupa Goswami is considered to be the father of devotional service. Sanatana Goswami also. But he wrote so many literatures that deal with the science of devotion. He revealed all the esoteric pastimes of Radha and Krishna also. Therefore he's called the Rasacharya. And this was all done through Rupa Goswami. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had personalities like Haridas Thakur, he revealed the holy name through Rupa Goswami, he revealed the Rasa Shastra through him. And then Rupa Goswami was able to broadcast that in all of his literatures that we have today. So he was writing a play when he was in Vrindavan. And this play was about Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan and Krishna's pastimes in Dwarka. In one book. Then when he left, he was on his way to Puri to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There's a town in Marissa called, or a village called, Satyabhamapur. And while he was there, he had a dream, and Satyabhama came to him in a dream. And she said, "Why are you writing these two stories together? You're compiling Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan and Krishna's pastimes in Gopna in one book. You shouldn't do it in one book, you make two." So then when he got to Puri, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also confirmed the same thing. Just out of the blue, or unexpectedly, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Rupa, never make Krishna leave Vrindavan. And he understood, oh, it must be hinting about that, what Satyabhama told him. He said that Krishna, he never leaves Vrindavan, or he never abandons Vrindavan to go elsewhere. And that's all Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. So then Rupa Goswami would understand, okay, he got the hint that I should make two separate books. Krishna shouldn't leave Vrindavan. And it's an important point in our philosophy, because Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. And the devotees, this is the understanding of why the Braja devotees are different from all the other devotees of Krishna, and how they are so exalted. Is that because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The original feature of Krishna is God in Vrindavan, Krishna in Vrindavan, not as God, but as the son of Nanda Maharaj. And this is his actual greatest pleasure. Outside of that, the pleasure decreases. If Krishna goes anywhere, it's a decrease in pleasure. So the devotees, they naturally don't want to decrease Krishna's pleasure in the slightest degree. So therefore, the last thing that we want to do is to try to take Krishna out of Vrindavan. Because it means taking Krishna away from his pleasure. Krishna is the supreme enjoyer wherever he goes. He's always enjoying in different moods and relationships. But the topmost enjoyment for Krishna is with the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Therefore, the last thing a devotee would want to do would be to take Krishna outside of Vrindavan. And this is why the devotees are exalted above all other devotees. The devotees in Raja are more exalted than their love for Krishna, and their only attitude of pleasing Krishna, giving Krishna the greatest pleasure by assisting in the pastimes of the unification of Radharani, Radha and Krishna, and the separation of Radha and Krishna also. That's their only business, because this brings Krishna the greatest pleasure. And they know that. And all the other, when Krishna leaves to go to Dwarka, Mathura, everything like that he does for his devotees' pleasure. That's actually not for his pleasure. And he admits that. So, like this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu hinted that Rupa Goswami, no, don't try to take Krishna out of Vrindavan. You serve him, and so from that time on, and then he made two books. There were two dramas. It was the Vidagdha Madhava and the Lalita Madhava. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was observing the Rath Yatra, he said that very famous verse, poetry, that, you know, it's the same night of Chaitra, it's the same full moon, it's the same, my sweetheart is there, it's the same, but my heart longs to take him back to the banks of the Chamuna rather than under the trees in the moonlight there. So I think it is a mundane poet, isn't it? It is actually a poetry that was, you know, nice poetry that was around at that time, and people couldn't understand it. Mahaprabhu was reciting, it seems like a love poem. But Rupa Goswami heard and he understood it. And he understood. This is actually Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was talking to Jagannath in the mood of Radharani. Krishna, you're the same Krishna. But you know, he figured it out. This is Krishna when he was at Kuruketra. And Krishna was seeing, Radharani and Gopis went to see Krishna. He said, you're the same Krishna, but look at you now. You're dressed up like a prince. And there's a rattling of chariots and all the infantry and the flags and the pomp and everything of royalty. And you're the same Krishna. It's the same knights. And we're the same Gopis also, but our hearts just long to take you back to Vrindavan. So Rupa Goswami wrote that down and he had a piece of plate on a palm leaf and he stuck it in the roof, the store roof. And later Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he came back from taking his bath, he just saw it. So he pulled it out and he saw it and he actually read it. And he said, this is astonishing. He says, how Rupa Goswami has understood my mind. How can he understand my mind? He said, it's my thoughts. How can he understand me? And he started telling all the mildly chastised Rupa Goswami. And he told all the devotees, when they look at this Rupa Goswami, how he has done this. He has understood this, my mind, too. So this is the mission of the chariots. They're revealing even things that Krishna doesn't reveal, many things. But by the grace of the acharyas, the devotees, then they reveal so much other things, put out so many other topics of Krishna's past that would be otherwise unknown. And he also wrote another an introduction in glorification of the holy name. And he was asked to read that, and he was reading it, and he was saying, I don't know how much nectar that the two syllables Krishna are made up from, but when I chant these two syllables, he said it creates, the nectar is so. It's so great that I just decide to have millions and millions of mouths to keep chanting. When it enters into my ears, it makes my mind go crazy also, and I want millions and millions of ears to hear this nectar, to accommodate all this nectar that's simply coming from these two syllables. And then when that name enters into in the garden of my heart, then I lose all of my senses. I lose all everything, compulsory, I lose everything. I become inert. I become stunned. I cannot. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very much appreciated that. And Haridas Thakur was there also, Namachar. He said, I've read so many Vedic statements on the glories of Holy Name, but never has there really been such a glorification like this. And Sri Damodar was there. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, did you hear that? How is it possible he's writing such things? Sri Damodar said, it's not possible. So the only reason it's possible, the only reason I can assert it's possible, is that you have bestowed your full mercy on Rupa Goswami. Otherwise, how is it possible that he can write such things? So he was a recipient of the full mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so it's good that we are Rupa Nu, because we are followers of Rupa Goswami. Our line is followers of Rupa Goswami. So we're very fortunate that we're following a person who actually was benediction, the full mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Already is Mahabhunaya, but he gave full mercy to Rupa Goswami. And by the mercy of Rupa Goswami. the mercy of Lord Chaitanya gets magnified. The Lord distributes his mercy through his devotees. But that mercy actually gets magnified when it comes to his devotees. So it's even greater. So Rupa Goswami was, when he was in Vrindavan, he was sent there by Lord Chaitanya to excavate the holy places of Krishna's pastimes and write books about the science of devotional service. And one time in the great period of separation, Rupa Goswami was longing to see, where is Krishna? I can't see Krishna. He was so absorbed in wanting, just wanted to be with Krishna. And then one Brajabashi came to a young man, very handsome. And he said, why are you lamenting here? He says, nobody should cry in our village. He said, well, where is Krishna? I have to see Krishna. This is my only lamentation. Oh, he said, oh, you want to see Krishna? He said, you don't see, what's the name of that place? He said, Krishna is there, Govinda is there. He said, you go, he's buried under the ground. What's the name of that place? Anyway, he said, he's there, you see every day one Saravi cow goes there and pours milk on the ground. She's feeding Govinda milk. He's actually under the ground. So Rupa Goswami went to the village and all the people went out there and they started digging around there. They asked the cowboy, he knew that, yeah, the one cow is dropping milk there every day. So they dug and then out came Govindaji. So he began to worship the deity of Govindaji. Now in Jaipur. And Govindaji is the deity for Abhideya, or the process of devotional service. We have Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojana. Sambandha means the relationship that's established with through Madana Mohanji, Sanatana Goswami's Nityan. When the relationship is established, then the actual service goes on. That is called Abhideya. By performing the service, you get the result, which is called Prayojana. That is represented by Gopinath. These three aspects. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, this is actually all that's to be known in the Vedas, these three aspects. That's all it's speaking about. Even materially, anything in the material world you do, it requires these three aspects. If you want to start a business, and the first thing you do, you associate with the people who know that business. You ask them so many things, see if it's feasible. You make a relationship, then okay, yeah, it's feasible, I think I can do it. So then you put it into practice. You actually put the business into practice after that relationship is established. You actually apply the process, and then as a result you get your profit. So that is the goal. So actually everything we do, it requires these things, three aspects. So Abhideya, the process, is actually more important for us. The goal is Gopinath, love of Godhead. So practically speaking, the process is more important for us, because now we don't have love of Godhead. But we have the process of devotional service, which is our sadhana, and which will bring us to God. So practically this is all we've got. And more or less the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is the process of Abhideya. Because Sambandha you get immediately. First day you come you get Sambandha. You're not this body, you are the soul, you're the eternal servant of Krishna, you have an eternal relationship with Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Person of Godhead. Your business is to serve Him. So that's established. And then, here is the way to serve Him. Then the acharyas are giving so many different processes of serving Krishna. And practically this is what we're doing, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. We're simply engaging people in service. Wherever we go, we simply try to engage them in service of Krishna. Which is very elevated. Very elevated. The Sambandha is also very elevated. Bhavanam Gamananti, after thousands and thousands of births of being a jnani, one comes to understanding Vasudeva is. Sambandha is started at that point, after thousands of births. But by the grace of the pure devotees of Krishna, then usually after that, then it takes a long, long time after that before they. Most people take the devotional service, because most people, Sambandha, they often stop at that. They understand that there is a God and I'm part and parcel of God, I'm spirit. Often it doesn't go beyond that. Practically all the religions of the world today and philosophies, they stop, more or less stop at that point. So even that's rare. They won't speak of the Abhideya process. But the way Prabhupada established ISKCON, the moment you come to ISKCON, boom. The first day you come in the temple, you know, you don't clean these pots for a long time. First day, you get some service. Why don't you come out and do Harinam medicine? You engage in devotional services. This is the result of billions and billions of lives to come to this point. But by the grace of the devotees, immediately you can skip all those billions and billions of births. This is the power of people of devotion, so the power of association with pure devotees. Because only they can give it, and practically any other spiritual line, they won't give you that process. So he is a Sambandha Acharya. I'll speak of Gauri Dasa in a bit. And there's one pastime I'll tell you of Rupa Goswami, because this is Julan Yatra time. So Rupa Goswami, he was in Braj and he saw these little girls who were playing. They were on a Julan and they were having a swing. And as he was walking past, he saw that one black snake was coming, hanging down in the branches, right by the little girl there, who's on the swing. Stop, stop, let's get away, there's a snake, snake. And then when he went up there, oh, it's not a snake. It was the girl that had a big black braid. It looked like a snake, it was like this, coming down at her. Oh, it's not a snake. Then he looked again and there was nothing was there. So, I've got the story mixed up, I'm sorry. But the beginning of the story, this is Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami have witnessed that. So just previous to that, he was reading some of Rupa Goswami's writing, and Rupa was giving a description of Radharani and the beauty of Radharani and everything, and how a braid is just like a snake, the way it goes on the body. And Sanatana Goswami said, You're relating Radharani's braid to a snake, a horrible black snake. Nobody likes snakes. And you're saying, oh, it's a beautiful braid, looks like a black snake. You shouldn't put that in. So Rupa said, okay, then I won't put that in. So then Sanatana was on his way and suddenly he saw this whole scene before him. And then it all disappeared and he thought, oh, it was Radharani and Krishna. And Radharani and her friends, and they were just saying that, no, it does look like a snake, they're afraid it. So then he went back into Rupa and he said, no, you please write that, keep it in your writing there. Rupa Goswami ki. Rupa Noga Bhaktas Vrinda ki. So the Gauridas Pandit, you see, he had many brothers. Sutadev Shapara was one of them, whose two daughters were Janavi Devi and Vasudeva. And they, he married them to Lord Nityananda Prabhu. And Gauridas was living in Ambika. First I believed in Shalagram, which is a few miles from here, north from here. And then they moved to Ambika Kalna. And at the time of the Lord Chaitanya's pastime in Navadvip was finishing, he was going to go to Jagannath Puri. So they went to Ambika Kalna to see Gauridas. Gauridas Pandit is actually one of the intimate Gopal friends of Lord Nityananda. And Krishna Lila is Shubhala Shaka. So they went to see him, and they were in ecstasy having a kirtan. Lord Chaitanya was spinning around and around and around, and Nityananda was chanting Hari Bol, Hari Bol. And everyone was in ecstasy. Gauridas Pandit, he was just profusely crying like anything, piteously. And so they said, "Why are you crying, Gauridas?" He said, "No, no, I know you're going, now you're leaving Navadvip, you're going to go to Puri, and you're going to leave us behind. He said, how can we live without you?" He said, "Our hearts are completely broken. How you can go, how you can leave?" So they were trying to console him, but he wouldn't be consoled for anything. And so then Lord Chaitanya said that nearby here, there's a big neem tree. He said, that neem tree, he said, "Actually, myself and Nityananda Prabhu, we're hidden in that neem tree." He said, "Really?" So he got the hint. So he had the deities made of gone and tied from that neem tree. And Nityananda Prabhu was actually personally there when they were making those deities. You see these deities in Ambika Kalna now. They're beautiful deities. They were made in the presence of Nityananda Prabhu. And so he made these deities, and they bought the deities, Nityananda and Mahaprabhu bought the deities there to Gauridas Pandit. Because he was in such a state of lamentation, and he was saying that, "Please, please, this is my very last request to you. Stay here with me. You're leaving, I'm making one last request. Please stay here with me. Please don't disappoint me. Please fulfill my last desire and stay here." But they knew they had to go to Puri for their pastimes in Puri. So then they brought the deities and they said, "Look, Gauridas, here we are. Yeah, we have deities and we are here." So there were four of them, the Gaunitai deities were there. And they said, "Now you can choose whichever one of us you want to stay. And we will stay with you. And then you know that your heart will, this desire will be fulfilled. You'll always be with us forever." And Gauridas, he was in complete ecstasy. Yeah, now he had two sets of Brahman, two Nityananda of Brahman. Because this is some trick of yours, he said. "You fooled the gopis one time, you were leaving Vrindavan, and you said, 'Don't worry, I'm here, I always be here in my bhava expansion, don't worry. Please don't trick me like that. It's some trickery.' No, 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 you just choose any of these. Anyone you want to stay with, you stay." So he was really happy, so he cooked up a big feast and he fed all of them. And they said, "So who do you want to stay?" They said, you stay here, to go on the tide. They said, "You want us? Okay, yeah. So we'll stay." So he's very happy. So then the deities, they got up and walked out. And Gaudapada was standing, they became like deities. He said, hey, what, where are you going? Where are you going? And they said, no, no, we're there. You want to stay? No, no, you come back. No, I want you to stay here. You to stay here. They said, but you just said you wanted us to be staying there. No, no, but I want you to stay. You don't go, you stay. Okay. So they come back again. So we're here. Okay, yes, yes. You stay here. Then they become like deities again. And the deities again, they became. Or the deities walked out again. So again he went, no, 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 you can't come. You can't leave me, please, please. But you just said you wanted us to stay here. We're here. Look, here we are. No, 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 I want you to stay. Please don't go. You really want us to stay? Okay, okay, we come back. So they come back again. Again, they become deities. The deities become God. Again, he grabs their feet, holds them. No, no, please don't leave me. So this is happening 22 times. And finally he's convinced. And you know what that means, 22 times means? New ones are there. The first time the real one is there. The second time the deity is there. So every even number the deity is there. And every odd number they got real gone if I stay there. So 22 times that on 22nd time they left, that means the deity is there. And actually gone if I actually stayed there. So they were there. And Krishna said that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that now we're here, so just give up that idea of us leaving. We're here now and you simply worship us in his deity form, and if Krishna is present in his deity, you should know this as a fact. He's instructed Guru Das, and he made him realize it. So he said, just accept what I say as a fact. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He said, just accept what I say as a fact. There is no difference between myself, between my holy name and the deity. Accept it as a fact. So he finally convinced Gauridas Pandit that he had Gaudapada in his house. And he said, now you have to give us food and maintain this. We're dependent on you now. We've stayed here. Now we're dependent on you. Every day you've got to bring us food. So Lord Chaitanya said, that we are here eternally with you. So know this as the truth of truth in your heart, Gauridas, that we are always here with you. So then he would serve his deities with great love and affection. Every day he would cook for them every day and feed them, always offering nice garlands. And also he would have different pastimes with them. And one time they said to Gauridas Pandit, do you know who we are? He said, I know you are. He said, no. The Krishna Balaram. You remember, you know, Yashoda Bal Shaka. You know, we have pastimes in Vrindavan with the cows and all of our friends. Oh, yeah. And they just went into that mood, and Gaudapada became Krishna Balaram. He became Yashoda Bal Shaka. And they're having a roaring pastime with little kids, Krishna Balaram, and running around everywhere for some time. And gradually they came back to him in Gaudapada. And Shubhal Shankar, Gauridas Pandit. And sometimes he was saying that I'd really like to dress my Gaudapada with some nice jewelry and all of this. was just thinking that then he went back into the theater and he saw it on his head. Had all beautiful ornaments, all precious jewels completely decked out. So he used to like that, and the deity used to fulfill all of his desires. Then, when he got old, he's getting older, then Gaunitai said to him, that you don't have to give us some cook so much every day, you're elaborate cooked fish you're making every day, you're getting really old now, and you see it's a big strain for you. You've got to collect all those sabjis, cut them up, cook them. It's a big strain for you, so you don't have to do that. So, because they weren't eating, they didn't eat the prasad. They said, you won't eat, because you just leave it. You've taken too much of your energy. So he said, why did you tell me to cook in the first place? When you first came, you said, I've got to cook for you every day. And now you're telling me not to cook. Why did you tell me not to cook in the first place? If you don't want me to cook. If you get happiness by not having me cook, then why are you instructing me sometimes to cook? Now you tell me not to cook. So they said, you cook so many preparations, it takes so much time, we can't bear just to see you working so hard and sweating just to give us some food. So then he said, okay, anyway, whatever I've given you today, you eat that. Tomorrow I'll give you some rice and shak. Okay? I said, oh yeah, okay, that's good. So then they ate a big feast. And they all started laughing. So Lord Das Pandit had a very dear disciple whose name was Hidai Chaitanya. Hidayananda, his initial name was Hidayananda. So one day Gauridas Pandit, he went out to see some disciples, and it was right at Gopurnima time. So they used to have a festival every year in Gopurnima. So they invited used to invite all the local people. So it was just a couple of days before Gopurnima. So Hidayananda, he's saying, where's my Guru Maharaj? He's not here. No invitation has been sent out. What shall I do? And he said, I better send out the invitations, otherwise nobody, if he comes back late, we won't have our big festival. So then he started sending out invitations. And then at the time, Gauridas Pandit came back and he said, and his disciple told him, I send out invitations to all the devotees to come and attend the festival. Oh, he said, in my absence, you want to act independently. You want to become the head of the mat. You're making all the decisions yourself in my absence. Immediately, if Guru's out of sight, then you want to become. You go away from here. In his heart, he was very happy that he had made so many arrangements for Gopurnima, but to show that the disciples should be independent. Now you go away. So Hidayananda, he went to the bank of the Ganga. There's a big Imali tree there. If you go to the Ambika Colony, you've seen that. Just a little way from Gauridas Pandit's house. So he was there, living under the tree, and one rich merchant came by. And he said, I want to give a donation to the sadhus. Please accept this. I've heard that you're a very great sadhu. No, I can't accept. You can give it to my Guru Maharaj. He lives in that temple there. So he went to Gauridas and said, please accept this donation. Give me your blessings. He said, I don't want the money. He said, don't give it to that, my disciple. Hidayananda. He's going to make a feast, so he'll need some money. And tell him to arrange a feast because he's having a festival. He's invited so many people. So then he gave the money to the Hidayananda, and he made a big festival and invited all the devotees. The Gopurnima festival, so there's this steady kirtan is going around, was dancing and jumping. It was really, really exciting. We're going in time because it was only 5 minutes away. They could hear that noise. So they left the altar, they went down and they were joining the kids and they were dancing and chanting and jumping up and down. Complete ecstasy. So then, time for puja comes and the pujari, his name is Bora Gangadas, he come in to do the puja and he went in deep, there's no deities. Where's the deities from? So he went to tell Sri Gauridas Pandit, he said, your deities are not here, they've gone. I don't know where they've gone. I know where they've gone. Right, where are they? Picked up a big stick. I didn't even see them. So he went marching down towards the emily tree where the kirtan was going on. And you could see him at distance, going entirely down there, leaping and dancing. And the room was in ecstasy. Kirtan was also dancing, everyone was dancing. And he's coming down with that stick and going entirely. I said, hey, no, no, it's gone. They got really scared. Where can we go? The Ganga is that side behind us, and he's coming down the road, and he's got a big stick in his hand. And they both, phew, they dived into the Hidayananda's heart and hit there. Gauridas Pandit, he saw that. Ah, he said, you've got Gauridas, I have taken complete Shavanyan. So he embraced his disciple. He said, who is more fortunate than you? Gauridas, I have made a residence in your heart. From now on, your name will be Hidai Chaitanya. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is living in your heart. So then they all came back to me. If you go up on the in front of the altar, sometimes they let you up. If you go with sannyasi, they can subhagmaras, and those are very well. So you can get up there with them. But they keep a cloth on Gonitai's feet, you know, they have a system there. And they close the curtains and then they open it just for a few seconds. A minute. And then again they close. Because Gonitai left so many people. When he left, when they left, they may go out again. Just like Manka Bihari from Vrindavan. Manka Bihari was attracted by his devotee, so he left. So now they kept pulling back again, but now they only have a few seconds darshan because he may become attracted to his devotees. So they don't want going to tie again to leave. So they only open the curtain for a few seconds and then they close again and they open it like that. And they keep his feet covered with a cloth, a very soft cloth. So people don't. If people become too attracted to their feet, they're going to die, be attracted. They're always thinking they're going to die, feet, they're going to die. He obliges those devotees and they may leave. So that, but if you go up there, they take the cloth off sometimes. And they show you the feet. And I went up there once with Sri Bhagmaras and they took it off. It was really astonishing. I caught my breath like, the feet, you cannot. They're like beautiful golden colour. Brownish gold. And it's like polished turtle shells. It's the description. Sometimes they say the feet are like polished turtles. They polish a turtle and as a kind of effulgence comes out. They're just like that, like there was like they were kind of a gold effulgence. And they are so real. It actually made me jump. And I said, well, now I can understand how they could walk out. When you see the feet, you can easily understand. They're definitely there. If you ever get a chance, you go up there and see them. Feast for the eyes. Srila Gauridas Pandit ki. Srila Goswami Pada ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Somaveda Bhakta Vrinda ki. Srila Gauridas Pandit ki. They're there in Ambika Kona. You just get a train from Navadvip and it's about four or five stops. about 15, 20 minutes. Then you get a rickshaw. And you take it home.